October was Missions Month at Westgate, and I say was because we are now moving to the end of October. Last night, we had a banquet, and we kind of had this rally wrap-up at Lawson Heights. So those of you that were there, you know there was a great event last night. This morning, we have with us Heather Hahn, and Heather works in Mexico City, right alongside Victor and Betty Chin and Baron Vanessa Yarborough and Blake and Kathy. So she's part of the Mexico Missions team. We don't have a seamless link with her, but we are so glad that she's here this morning. And in that whole area of missions, I want to remind you again, our Global Advance Fund. That's what makes it possible for our international workers to work around the world. It's when you give to the Global Advance Fund, that is how we send them out and support them. So this morning, we've got Heather here with us. Now, Heather's last name has changed, and it's no more Heather Hahn. Well, it is. It's Heather Hahn Tagabasis. Did I get it right? Where's Heather? Yeah, oh, kind of messed it up a bit. Andres, her husband, is not here this morning, nor her kids, right? Because they're sick. They were last night, so we won't see them. Maybe another opportunity. And we do have another opportunity of Heather being with us later in December, but that's young at heart. So if you want to get old real fast, you got a month and a half to do that in. Heather, come on up. It's so good to have you here.
I thought Pastor Frank was going to say, if you want to get old real fast, come and listen to Heather. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I am so honored to be here this morning, and there are some things that I just love about being at Westgate, so let me tell you a few of them. I love that you gave us your best. You sent Baron Vanessa Yarborough to Mexico City. Thank you for giving us Baron Vanessa. We love them. They are gold on our team. They are great people. Thank you for sending us to them. Thank you for supporting Victor and Betty through thick and through thin. You know, they're an amazing couple. They have begun to work with the Chinese in the Santa Fe part of Mexico City. And it is so exciting. They are telling people about Jesus Christ who come from China and have never heard about how much joy it gives our lives to know Jesus. It's exciting to watch Victor and Betty. You are supporting great people. And also, Jonathan and Claudia. I rarely get to speak to a church where people are that concerned about local pastors. And let me tell you, Jonathan and Claudia work in probably the most dangerous neighborhood of Mexico City. It is very dangerous. There is so much crime there. Even people that don't mind dangerous neighborhoods tell me when I go there, I'm really scared. And Jonathan and Claudia, with their four young children, walks those streets. They make people, they talk with the people who are worshiping the spirit of death. They know people that lead gangs. They live on top of a family that's a drug dealer. They are amazing people, convinced Jesus is the light of the world. And so thank you for praying for us. We are still standing because you pray for us. That is not just an add-on. It is something super important to our existence. And I am honored to be here because, you know what, 20 years ago, I first dreamt of going to Mexico City, and Westgate believed in me. Westgate gave me a chance to come and speak when I was 20 years younger. So I still feel young at heart, too, okay? And so thank you. Thank you for praying with me, for journeying with me. Thank you for giving to the Global Advance, because that's how I can continue to do what I do. So thank you. And I just love this church. I love how you guys do quizzing. I love your housing, your daycare. I just think this is an amazing church to be part of, so thank you for including me in your family. My husband's name is Andres. I'm Heather. We have two little children, Lucas and Teodoro, or Teo. And Andres works with the administration part of our mission, and I lead Justice and Compassion Projects. So we are just delighted to be part of your family. And I believe that God has a word for each of us today. And so I would like to begin with a word of prayer. As I begin that prayer, just one thing I want to mention about our family is that I had been a single international worker for forever. Andres and I met when we were 36 years old. And as Andres and I look back on our life experiences, we are convinced that God did not show up late in our lives. We didn't get married later in life. It was the perfect moment that God brought us together. And even now in our day-to-day experiences, we can see how God had to prepare us for this journey of faith and being married and having kids. And I want to speak that to you. God never shows up late. Because some of you have something you've been praying for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you wonder, should I keep praying? Is this going to happen? What are you doing, Lord? And God never shows up late because He is holy. And it is impossible for him to do something that's less than perfect. So for those prayer requests that you have carried with you for many years and decades, press on, people of God, because he does not show up late and he loves us deeply. And with that, remembering who he is, let's come to prayer. We are convinced that your word is true, or we are in the process of being convinced that it's true. And so, Spirit, would you speak to us in a very powerful way today, something that's beyond our logic and our understanding? Would you speak truth to our hearts and our minds and our beings? Would you speak your message of love to us in a way that we really desperately need? Because we all have that in common, Father, this morning as we come before your throne. We are in desperate need of Jesus. So speak, Spirit. I'm honored to be the person here this morning. Don't let me get in the way, Lord. Use me, and Spirit, speak into our lives one more time. In your name, amen. Well, this morning I would love to talk to you about the generous and overwhelming love of God, because it has not stopped coming upon my life. As I became a mom and I disengaged a little bit from the ministry to spend more time with my kids at home, the Lord has continued to pour his generous and overwhelming love on my life. And I want to tell you some of those stories as we get into the Word of God. You know, becoming a mom, I've been able to see things so simple as when my firstborn was born, I thought, wow, you look like me. I thought of that the first moment I saw him after he was born. And as I reflect on these experiences, it's like God the Father says to me, Heather, you're my daughter and you look like me. You've been made in my likeness and my image and you look like me, and I'm so proud of you. And God continues to lavish his love on me as I take care of my children and their needs. In fact, some of those experiences have been very daily things. For example, about 7 months ago now, I was in a park with my kids. There was hardly anyone in this park, which in Mexico City is a small miracle. There's always tons of children and tons of people in parks. And as my kids played, troops of police came into this park. They came in with these big shields, they had their helmets on, they had big guns, and they walked into the park. And about 10 meters from where my children were playing, they went and they arrested a group of young people. The young people were just doing exercise. They cuffed them up and they took them away. And I, as young, with a mom with two young kids, I'm freaking out. I pick up my kids, put them in the stroller, say, let's go on a walk, kids. But inside my heart is going like that. And later, I brought that to prayer and I was talking to God about that moment. I was scared. My kids were in a moment of much danger. And it was like the Lord spoke to me like this, saying, Heather, this is what happens every day in your life. I am a father who is taking care of you, my child, just as you were taking care of your children. There are troops of evil forces that come in to rob your joy and to rob your peace. And I step in, I send in my troops of angels to protect you. And it is my joy to pay that price and to sacrifice for you. That is more real than what you can see with your eyes. And God has enabled me to see how he lavishes his love and protection on my life through the things that I am living with my children. At another moment, my husband and I, we were going down the highway with our kids sleeping in the back seat of the car. And as we approached a toll house where you pay, we could see that some bandits had taken it over. We paid them and continued on. And as I reflected on that experience too, I said to the Lord, I'm just angry that they got my money instead of the paying who I should pay for driving on this highway. And again, it was like the Lord said to me, Heather, this is what is happening daily in your life and what you cannot see with your eyes. I am driving the car and you are like a baby sleeping in the back seat. And we come to a place where I have to pay a price, and it is my joy to sacrifice and pay the price for you and keep you safe. And you, like that little baby, are in the back seat sleeping peacefully. It is my joy to love and to pay the price for your life. The Lord lavishes love on us in many different ways. And the way he lavishes it on us is sometimes what we cannot see with our eyes. It is more real what we cannot see with our eyes than what we can see with our eyes. So this is some of the ways that the Lord continues to show his great love in my life. I want to read with you this morning from a passage that comes in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is like this little jewel in the Old Testament. And it is a message of love to the people of God. It's not just a heavy-handed law. There's a message of love for his people, and he is lavishing love on his people. And this is what the Lord says to him. Understand this context. God is talking to his people about how to handle poverty. And he's saying, don't go and borrow from other nations. Because if you go and borrow from other nations, you will end up going to war with them. I want you to take care of your own people so well that you will never have to go and fight other nations. I will keep you safe if you do this and honor this. And this is the word of the Lord to his people. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 says this. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. As we read through this, just remember the references to your heart and to your hand. So here it says, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year is coming, the year for canceling debts is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. The next slide, please. Thank you. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites and who are poor and needy in your land. This is a God who generously pours love on us, who never gets tired of pouring his love upon us, and tells us also to be generous to those who are around us because he is generous to us. This last part here, there are some scholars that think that reference to there will always be poor in the land. Jesus used this when he was speaking to the people listening to him, and it was like a fill-in-the-blank kind of thing. There will always be poor amongst you, and everyone in their mind knew how to finish that fill-in-the-blank. Therefore, be generous and open-handed towards your fellow Israelites. The Lord God is commanding his people to be generous. Not to have a hard heart or a tight fist, but to give freely, because that is what he has done for us. You know, I see this in my own family, my children too. You know, my kids are really into trucks. They're into dinosaurs too, but they're really into trucks. And so the two of them, what they will often do, they'll find the trucks they want, and they'll hold them tightly. They'll even have like a truck in their armpit and in their elbow, and they're holding on to all the trucks they don't want to share with their brother, right? And I even find them in the corner just clenching their toys and watching their brother. And it's like the Lord is speaking to me through my children too. Because I get upset with it. I think, just release it. You are so alone in the corner, you aren't even enjoying the things that you're holding on to, that you're being tight-fisted with. That's what the Lord's referring to in Deuteronomy. You're being tight-fisted with. And so as I see my children do that, I say, Lord, what am I doing in my life? What am I being tight-fisted with and holding on so tightly that not even I am enjoying it? That's why the Lord calls us to be people with open hands who give freely and hearts that are not hard. I know what it's like to have a hard heart. You see, I work with people that struggle with a lot of daily issues of poverty. In fact, in one of the ministries I work, Braveheart, this past season was particularly difficult. We saw 5 different fathers die because of alcoholism. And my heart does this. It says, of course, yep, that's what happens. People that are poor, they live this reality. And that's the hard-hearted reality of that. Versus when I find myself basking in the Word of God and in his presence, I find my heart able to hurt about this and receive God's love and pour God's love into other people's hearts and lives. Be careful you don't live with a tight fist and a hard heart. I have a friend who says, you know what, anytime people ask me about things, I just ask God, do you want me to give away? Someone says, I'd like your car. And he says, well, I'll just pray about it. God, do they need my car more than me? It's not mine. Nothing I have is mine. Should I just release it? And if God says, yes, they need it more than you, I'll just give my car away. Let us not be like those little children in the corner holding on so tightly that we cannot experience the generous love of God, nor can we give it away. So I want to tell you some stories of how we have seen God's generous love being poured out in Mexico City. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is in your DNA to be generous. And generosity is the currency of the kingdom. That's what Jesus comes to preach. People who receive an overwhelming love of God lavished on us and who give generously. Some of the photos that you're seeing are of a ministry I participate in called Braveheart. Braveheart started 10 years ago, working with kids who spend much of their life on the streets of Mexico City. They come from villages where they speak an indigenous language and participate in indigenous cultures. But oftentimes when they move to Mexico City, the kids find themselves in cultures where cheap drugs are done and where they find themselves at high risk for things like human trafficking. Oftentimes they invite us in the Braveheart ministry. We do a homework help program and we speak Jesus to them on Saturdays in the park and we have fun. And they invite us back to their villages where we're able to take in medical care and educational resources and share the love of Jesus. This is also what Braveheart Collective does. They go into these villages and they help people export the goods they've made by their hand to give them a better opportunity for a better tomorrow. And so in these ministries, we kind of came upon an unreached people group. We didn't even know we were working with an unreached people group. They were just our friends. And as we began to hear their story, we saw that the Huichol people had made it illegal in their context to be a Christian. And I want to tell you one of those stories about a man named Roger. You see, Roger, years ago, lived as a proud man in a Huichol community about 17 hours from Mexico City. Roger had two wives, which is common amongst them to have up to four wives, and he had many children. But in the context where Roger lived, there was no health care. So when one of his sons got very sick, he took his son down the mountain to the first medical clinic he could find. But by the time Roger got there, his young son had passed away. Maybe Roger was a proud and well-respected authority in his community, but as he sat in that hospital, he was a broken man. Who had a father who had just lost his son. In that hospital at the same time, there was a man who followed Jesus. And he walked up to Roger and he just couldn't help leaving Roger there. And he said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And Roger said, "I have no money. I have no way to get home. And I'd really like to get home." And Roger, instead of just pulling 10 bucks or a bunch of pesos out of his pocket, he said, "I have a pickup truck. I'll drive you back up the mountain." So they drove for 4 hours up the mountain. And when the Christ follower got this to this community, he could tell he was amongst people who had never heard about Jesus. So when they invited him to stay, he couldn't help himself. He started telling this family about Jesus over and over and over. And he stayed for days. And around their fire where they cooked tortillas, he would tell them stories about the Old Testament and how that came to fruition, how people needed a rescuer. And Jesus Christ was the answer. And Roger and his family fell in love with Jesus. But deciding to follow Jesus wreaked havoc on Roger and his family in the community. You see, in that community, they have communal lands. So when it comes to time to plant the harvest, everyone calls on the corn god, and everyone calls on the sun god, and calls on the different gods, and if you don't, you don't get to plant corn, and you don't get to eat. And so there became this rub between Roger's family and the other families, and it came to a point where they were taken before the authorities, and the town decided to burn down Roger's house, to take his wives away from him, and to send him out of the community. Roger and his wives and children were later reunited, and they became the first Huichol family to follow Jesus Christ 10 years ago. This past May, I had the privilege of talking with Roger, and I said, we asked him, when you were just days old in the faith, when you were kicked out of your community, did it not make you want to turn your back on God? And he said, no, because in the Psalms we had heard that there were, Christians will be persecuted. If you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted. And so in my mind, that was just a little check in that box. Yes, everything God says is true, even his promise that we will be persecuted. And so Roger and his family began a Christian community of all the people who would later come to Christ, and we would have their houses burned and would be expelled from the community. They would receive them later on. God is on the move, and we just can't stop it. He is a God with generous love, and it is irresistible. He will find us when we are not looking for him, because he is a God that loves us so much. That is what 3 John refers to when he says he lavishes his love on us. Sometimes we run away from it. And God seeks us out as a good father and pours his love on our lives. Isn't that good news? So we as Braveheart have the privilege of going into these communities. We take in medical brigades. Sometimes we send a teacher in. We go in just because we're invited, but the traditional authorities always have to say, yes, you can come in. Well, about 6 years ago, Braveheart Ministry from Mexico City went up the mountain, and we were having fun in this community and just talking around the fire as we ate tortillas, and a young girl, Celia, heard our story. But you see, we found Celia not in this community, but by a bus stop one day. We had had somewhat of a discouraging trip up into the mountains, and as we came down to a bus stop, a young wee chul girl called across the street and said, "Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. I never thought I'd see you again." And we weren't sure if this was a trap or what it was, but she came to us and said, "I've been praying for years that I would find you again." You see, when I was 14 years old, I was given away in marriage to a young man. And I happened to be there when Braveheart people were visiting our community, and I was making you tortillas in the corner. You may have not even seen me. And an older man in that moment was joking with the men from your group and said, "You should all just take a wife. Just take a wife from here and go home. See, we all have many wives." And because women are so oppressed and treated like objects, that was a common thing for a Wichol man to say. But one of the young men in our Braveheart group who had just met Jesus said this, "I'm discovering that God loves me and he has a plan for my life, and it includes one wife, but thank you." And we kept on joking around and talking. But Sally was in the corner and she heard a God who loves people so much that just wants they would have one wife, and holes of light were poked into the darkness of Sally's life. So when Celia's husband brought home another wife, she packed up everything she had in one small plastic bag and walked and walked and walked until she came to a bus stop where she met Roger and his family. Roger and his family took her in, and they began to tell her about the love of Jesus. And Celia decided to give her life to Christ. She discovered she was 4 months pregnant at that time. And they said, "Not to worry. We will take care of you and your son. And would you like to get training?" So Celia applied for nursing school and finished her nursing degree. And as she tells us this story, she's like, "Look at me. I'm radiant. Jesus has changed my life. And I have been praying for years that I would meet you again and be able to tell you thank you for poking holes of light in the darkness of our community." And then she grabbed one of the girls' arms that was with us and said, "I know there are many people praying for my people, the Wichol people. Can you tell them my story?" God loves us so much. He's a generous God. He doesn't just give us a life to survive like we were singing this morning. He wants us to thrive because his love is great and awesome. And he seeks people like Celia when they aren't even looking for him. I want to tell you one more story about someone who is Wichol. And this man, he is a man like Roger, but his name is Jamie. But Jamie still to this day is very close to the gospel. In fact, he kicked his very own daughter out when her and her husband decided to follow Jesus Christ. Jamie, about a half a year ago, was riding on his horse, checking his crops, when he fell off his horse and broke his hip. So he was taken down the mountain to a hospital. Now, his daughter, who he personally had kicked out, Jamie has been in charge of burning many houses of those who have decided to follow Christ. And you know, we don't know this for sure, but we've even given Bibles to people like secretly when we're visiting, and the next day their house is burnt down. And we don't know for sure that it's because we gave them a Bible, but we know that our struggle is not against those people, right? Our struggle is against the enemy, and that's how I want to invite you in to be praying. Anyway, so Jamie fell off the horse, broke his hip, was taken down to the hospital. And his daughter, who lives close to that hospital in the Christian community, went to him and picked him up and took him home to nurse him to health. So here's Jamie in the Christian community of all the people he's kicked out and burned their houses, and they become his family, and they love on him, and they take care of him until his hip is healed. This is like a big secret because the people up in the village have no idea. They think Jamie was in the hospital the whole time. They don't know that this authority in the community was actually nursed to health by Christians. What happened in one of those visits, as we as a Braveheart community went through the Christian community on our way up the mountain, one of our gals just happened to go to the washroom at the same time Jamie was going to the washroom. They said, "Kiaku," which means good morning, and they parted ways. But Jamie was now able to see who more Christians were, and these were Christians that are going up into their community.
We were so thankful that God is sovereign over all this process, because at some point we will probably be kicked out of this community, because that's the nature of the gospel. We can't just keep it a secret. People are finding out that Jesus is life, true, and the way. And so at some point we'll probably be kicked out. And we sensed this because one of our volunteers went up to teach in the high school. Now, when you think high school, just lower your standards, because it's a dirt floor and a thatched roof and there's nothing on the library shelves and there's no computers. It's just young people who run 2 hours to school on Monday morning and run 2 hours home Friday afternoon. They eat once or twice a day, and they aren't sure that their education will serve them for much. And one of our teachers went into there and began to teach, but of course, she had to share Jesus. And at night, young girls would come to her house, and she would teach them how to read and write. And the girls said, we want to learn through that book that has shiny edges up on that shelf, because we know it's prohibited in our community. That's why we really want to read it. And so with the ripple effect of the gospel, people began to find out through that teacher that she was a Christian, and she was telling people about him. So we thought, we might be kicked out of this community as a ministry. Let's go in with one big last bold move. So we went in and asked for permission to take in a medical brigade of 70 doctors. Now, while this community is very small, there are many isolated communities nearby that people walk up to 5 hours to come and get medical care. It so happened in the meeting we went in to ask for permission, Jamie, this proud man who kicks out Christians, was emceeing the meeting. And so as our leader went up and took the microphone, she said, we are a group of people named Braveheart. We always go into communities with a message of hope, and we help with medicine and with education. And Jamie stared her down. He said, I know I've seen you somewhere. And as she talked, he put his hand over the mic. He said, I remember where I saw you. Come and heal our people. Put it to a vote. Everyone unanimously agreed that we as Braveheart could bring in 70 doctors the second week in November. We can't help but think that Jamie was proclaiming a prophetic message without even knowing it. Come and heal our people, because that is what God does. When we invite him into our communities, he heals us, because he's a generous and a good God. People of God, join us. In 2 weeks, a group of 70 doctors is going in to this Wichol community who has previously been closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us? Would you pray that God would work in this community in such a powerful way that people would have dreams and visions about Jesus who loves them even before they hear about him? Would you pray that God would prepare our medical team, that they would be ready to engage in spiritual warfare, and also that God would change their hearts as they serve through medicine? Would you pray that God would heal people in ways that are unexplainable to medicine, because he loves us and because he is all-powerful God? And would you keep praying with us after November? Because the people, the Wichol people, desperately need a Savior in so many areas of their life, and that we would all be able to worship Jesus Christ shoulder to shoulder before the throne of Jesus alongside the Wichol. The word of the Lord in Deuteronomy says, do not be tight-fisted or have a hard heart, but rather live generously as God lives generously with us and showers his love upon us. It is an irresistible, relentless love, and he will find us even when we walk away with him. Even when we go through difficult times, God is there guiding us through that. I want to pray with you this morning, Westgate, but I also just want to give you a moment in which you can pray in silence. And would you join me in praying for the Wichol people this morning, and then we will pray together. So let's pray. And so we stand or sit as a people before you, your people, chosen, loved. And we recognize this morning that there have been areas of our life in which we have come to believe that you are giving us just enough. And so, Father, we pray that you would blow by the power of your Spirit into our minds, and you will convince us that you are giving us more than enough. That, Jesus, you have come to heal, to repair, to rescue, and that we are not just surviving in Jesus, but rather that we are thriving because you're so generous in the way that you poured yourself upon us. And Jesus, we want more. We're thankful to be here this morning, Lord, but yet we are so conscious that we as your people need more. More, Jesus. More of your love surprising us in ways that we didn't know. More of your revelation through your word to us. More, Jesus. And we recognize that our community need more. And I pray for Westgate that even this Thursday through the Trunk and Treat, Father, that you would pour out your generous love through this community to the community that surrounds them. Oh, Father, we pray that this city and this neck of the woods, Father, that they would experience Jesus deeply. We want more. We're happy with what we've given you, but we want more. And Father, we pray for the Wechold people this morning, and we would particularly bring to you Jamie and other authorities like him. They've been against the gospel. They thought that it's come in to ruin people's lives and change culture. We pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would change the way that they perceive Jesus Christ. We pray you would give them a spirit of curiosity, that they would want to know more, that they would ask questions, that they would listen. We pray that they would be, their jaws would drop open as they hear the good news of Jesus Christ and what he does. We pray that you would remove from them tight fists and hard hearts, and that they would be able to receive abundantly from you. And we pray that you would raise up the Wechold people, not just to worship with us, but they would also come into our communities and our lives, and they would teach us what it means to receive the generous love of Jesus. And Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you before we know what you're going to do, because we believe that you're very good and what you do is good. And we trust you. Amen.